You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
It's quite a topic to explore, right? You know what I mean? It's, I don't know. When I was young, all I could think about was getting married. You know, I was living in Weaverville, but
does that change depending on what city?
Well, I think if you're a Christian and you live in a little tiny town, you're like, let's get on with this.
My options for life are pretty limited,
right?
So marriage and the mill.
So all these older people that I knew that weren't married yet, I was shaking my head like, what are you doing?
Move to Reading.
What are you waiting for? Yeah, the big city of Reading. Yeah. So, yeah, I am nearly 40 years married. I think, gosh, I can't imagine not being married.
Sure. I work with singles, and I have lots of single friends. I think Ben and I have collected a place where singles come and gather around us, which I love that they see us as a safe place of an example for marriage and family. But I didn't have a whole lot of single years before getting married because I got married at 18.
So this was quite a exploration in other paradigms and realities and how people think, and it was a learning experience for me.
We started the series off with Allison Slack now.
Yes.
She just recently got married, and it's been really fun. But I've actually known Allie single. That's all I've ever known her until the last couple years. And she shares her story on here, and it's inspiring watching her close up, seeing her chase after things. Like when she worked in the office with us, I remember it wasn't about the guy she was trying to date or the guy she was trying to find. It was all the adventures in which Allie was looking at and pursuing and happening in. And she really has always been a great example of just living a full life and falling in love with who she was and who she is.
And who she's called to be and just being faithful to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's done a great job of that. And from that, someone very unexpected, I think, popped in. And, if you missed Allison's episode, you should go listen to it because she just brings a lot of hope and honesty and vulnerability to the process.
Yeah.
And almost getting married and all of that. So she's walked through a lot.
She has. I think the reality of people holding on to the hope, like Allie held on to the hope of finding someone who wanted to get married and be married for the rest of their lives. And even he is, coming off of a broken marriage, and Allie becomes a parent, day one, she's a parent, boom.
It's kind of like Lauren Valentin.
Just like that. So I think that the idea of seeing a lifelong covenant between two people is, it's a war zone right now. Mm-hmm. The family is just in this war zone of being bombarded with the illusion or the delusion that you can do family however you want to. You can just, you can take a squirrel and a rabbit and make a family. You're like, what the heck is happening here? Where is this coming from? And it feels like we're just being bombarded with options to where people are kind of confused about what a lifelong covenant together, raising children, is. It's an ideal. It's a goal. It's a hope. You throw everything you have at accomplishing that, and you that's how you live in a man-woman relationship, you throw everything you have at making this work, mm-hmm. both of you,
yeah.
not just one of you, both of you. And for whatever reason, this kind of stirs up the good times create weak men thing, mm-hmm. you know? You're like, mm-hmm. ugh.
Yeah.
We have so much weakness in family leadership going on. It's, yeah. it's, and I think that gets all over single people.
Yeah. That it is a, it's an interesting, you know, spin when you're talking about the design of covenant and that pursuit and what it is now. I know when Ben and I did the defining the relationship course not too long ago, I think I've said this before, but I was so shocked at how many people were bringing to that class that they were living together and, you know, obviously sleeping together, creating a life together, but they weren't in a marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get that information and we're at church, you know, so there's, I thought everybody knew what you were bringing.
Yeah.
But apparently.
Well, I buy the cow and you get the milk for free.
Yeah. There's just been this breaking down of the standard in what you're bringing to this relationship. And part of this starts back here in your singles, the decision that you make of what you're going to protect and who you're going to be and the standard that you're going to keep. So when you do enter a relationship, all of a sudden, if your partner doesn't agree with this, that you're, the person that you're dating, and they're like, oh, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, it's past 2020. We all survived. So who knows what's going to happen? We should just dive in. And well, it's rough.
Yeah, I think you nailed it when you say we're lowering the standard. It's there's God's standard mm-hmm. and there's the world standard, and there's not some in between standard.
Yeah, that's
you know, there's
the
just
gray.
A compromising God's standard,
yeah.
you know, to becoming more like the world standard. So when you live in the church with the world standard, you have to ask yourself, what in the world am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why in the world am I over here? And it's because I'm trying to get the best of both worlds. You know, I want fire insurance for my ungodly approach to life and covenant and, yeah. you know, who's my Lord?
Yeah.
Who's my Lord? It's not Jesus if you're doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's just not. And you can argue that and have a fit about that if you want to, but read your Bible. This is how this works over yeah. here. And the you know, as soon as you enter compromise, you begin to, this is the idolatrous life of Israel. You always wonder, like, how in the world did they have little statues that they bowed down to? Like, well,
golden
look
calves.
Around.
Yeah.
yeah, look around your life and see how much compromise you have pulled over into your so-called serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the delusional part for young people coming up and looking at all this and saying, yeah. okay, well, which one of these do I want? Like, well, the one you want is the one over here that is has got Jesus leading you and you asking, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you want. All the gradients out from that is run away.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into our questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one we have today comes to us from Joy.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I am a recovering rescuer who is on the journey to becoming an awesome guide. With that, I have had some friends around me who have come to me looking for advice on problems that seem like they haven't really done any of the work to figure out how to solve the problem without just asking me first. So my question is, how can I show them, hey, I'm here for you, I'm for you, I'm in this with you, but you need to go do some of the work first, without just saying, figure it out yourself. I'd love your input. Thank you so much.
That's probably a hard boundary to set with a recovering Rescuers, go figure it out yourself.
I know, I know. I think, you know, in the recovery or recovering, the good guy, you know, the rescuer is really just wanting to help. Mm-hmm. I just want to help. I just want everybody to be helped and everybody to be happy. If you've not read Unpunishable, I would recommend that you get that. And then I think it's chapter maybe 6. It's the 5 E's. Mm. You know, so
I don't remember what chapter
you lead but... with empathy, you know, you just really wow. And then you come in with empowerment with what are you going to do? And that sends the message that both to you and to them that this is not my problem that you're working on. This is your problem that you're working on that I'm watching you work on. I'm not trying to make you do something. I'm just here to help. I've come alongside, and I want to maybe explore. And then there's the next E. Let's take a look around. Like, where has this problem showed up in your life before? Have you ever had to solve anything like this before? What did you try last time you did this? You know, you're just trying to get them to talk about, yeah, this keeps coming, or whatever. And what's the problem? Mm-hmm. What's the problem you're even trying to solve here? Do you even know what that is? And until they come up with, oh, this is the problem that I need to solve, you really don't have any advice.
That's the hard part.
It's so hard. You don't have any suggestion, because we don't even know what problem you're working on yet. But once we find that, here comes the educate. Okay, well, have you tried this? Would this work here? But you'll notice something. All I've done so far are questions. Empathy and questions. That's all I got for you, baby. That's all I got. And so I go, what would happen if you did this? I was wondering if this might work. Have you tried something like this? And then I'm, you know, basically going to expect. I have an expectation that you're going to go to work on this. You're going to have a plan, you're going to execute your plan, you're going to invite some accountability into your plan, and I can't wait to hear how your plan works.
Totally.
You know, and look at me over here, all happy and fat and sassy, while you go away with tools and clarity and support and a plan.
Yeah.
Go get them, Tiger.
We did a Kylo show on the 5 E's last year, I think it was. So I don't know what episode number, because we're like at 117 or something at this point. So I'll just say, I guess, go check out 56. Maybe that's a word of knowledge, maybe not. I might be leaving you stray. But I know that we did it somewhere around last year. And it was great. So it might be a good resource for you to see kind of how we walk through those and Unpunishable as well. So be a helpful tool to do that. Because I know we talked through this. And it is that wait, that pause, the put a sock in it, you know, don't give out those questions and until they found the problem.
Yeah.
So
it's good. And it's so tempting to feel like you rescued someone when you told them the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you try that with your children's homework, you just set them up for a bad test.
We just had, we have this ladies group that I'm a part of, and one of them was hosting it, and she asked the question kind of, you know, we all have these crazy upbringings that influence our lives, and good, bad, and ugly, all the things, but they kind of shape us and make us to who we are and different stuff like that. And she was really asking, you know, have we processed through that? Have we figured out how to grow ourselves, and what stage are we in a question? And So it was interesting to go around to this group of ladies that are leaders in different environments, talking through really their healing process with the Lord and discovering how self-aware they are to what upbringings they had and what are they bringing and what are they cultivating, so that maybe the weeds that got in their garden as kids, you know, I think about, you know, we were playing in the yard yesterday and we have this beautiful grass in the backyard, and all of a sudden these horrible, the stinging nettles, those weeds, those things are
gnarly.
Awful. And they're in this beautiful patch of grass. I'm like, how did you get in here? Like, how did you get in this?
Violator.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at them and I'm pulling them out. We're playing.
Stranger.
We're playing croquet with the kids and I'm pulling these weeds out and chucking them into the area where I don't care if they grow. And Ben's like, what do you do? I'm like, well, this is awful. I don't want this in this grass. And it's kind of the same idea, is paying attention to, oh, there's this thing that I had as a kid or it was part of my family that is showing up in my garden. What am I going to do with this? Is this something that I want to protect and cultivate and let flourish? Or is this something that I need to remove and plant something else there?
And nobody can do it but you.
Yeah. And so, you know, they're laughing at me because I'm walking around trying to find these things and they don't feel very good when you step on them. That's how I found the first one. But so that whole conversation with these ladies was, at what stage are you in the process of embracing kind of what your parents gave you, who shaped so much of who you are, and your relationship with a father, and what are you doing to do better?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you doing to grow? And what are you doing to heal? And kind of all of us were at different stages. You know, it's kind of was entertaining because mom's in the room. So we had to do this. They were like, she said to me, she goes, I want you to be honest, Brittany. I know your mom's in the room. I'm thinking, that's easy for you to say. Let's have your mom in the
room. When your mom told me that, I said, so you talked about her dad?
Yeah. I talked about you both. But it was, I just love the question. And I don't know that we're having these conversations in this context very often. With the beautiful part of Kylo U is helping people along the journey as they walk through God, their self, and others, is we're helping them discover this. We know how to ask good questions to help them get to, hey, you've been stepping on that weed. I don't know if you realize that, ow, it's because of that. Did you want to do something about that? And again, we can't control anybody, but we are asking really great questions, and they're in this environment with these people that are doing the work and cleaning out their garden. So it's been fun, but that's kind of what I see it as, just this process of discovery.
And then our third area would be, you know, being powerful with others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about connection. Like, are you connected with God? Are you connected with yourself, with your own heart? And can you connect with others? And so the export system of a powerful life, of a healthy garden, is what other people experience with you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get all that stuff, if you don't get all the stinging nettles out of your garden, then people experience the sting. You know, they experience the lack of progress that you've made on yourself that came from the lack of progress you made in understanding who your father is. I mean, it's all upstream. So it flows, and then manifestation of your life is how other people, how those relationships go. And you know, so many people want to blame the other person or other people. Idiots. I'm surrounded by idiots. You're like, wait a second, you know. Idiots attract idiots, you know. Unhealthy attracts unhealthy. Bitter attracts bitter. Punishing attracts punishing. And lovely attracts lovely. And truth attracts truth. And you know that, so you really you pay attention to the people around you, and if you don't like who you've surrounded yourself with, that's you. And like, you know, I don't have any criminal friends, but criminals only pretty much have criminal friends. Like mm-hmm. that's how this works. So what, who are you attracting? Mm-hmm. And then what is the experience that you're having
yeah.
with who you find yourself surrounded by?
And the others category is, you know, your family, your children, your spouse, I mean, your friends, your coworkers. I mean, the others category is quite a big category.
Yeah.
And obviously there's different rings of influence. It's been fun because Delaney is, you know, had her job and she's getting ready to move and all these things. And her boss just left and got moved to a different store location.
Oh, wow.
And so she was her last day yesterday and she came and found Delaney and gave her a hug and said, "You are one of the hardest workers we have. Mm. And if you need anything, you let me know." Mm. And then she told me again last night how a bunch of the kids her age are, I don't know them, but what I hear about them is, I'm really glad Delaney doesn't hang out with them. She hangs out with most of the managers. Mm. It's how she's been grafted in, is a lot of the managers give her jobs and different things like this. But what I'm discovering is her learning that how she carries herself and what she believes about herself and her relationship with the Lord and what she brings to others has an influence and has an impact. And so the feedback she keeps getting from all of her managers is that she is their favorite closer
mm-hmm.
because they can trust that things will get done because
mm-hmm.
that's how Delaney
yeah.
lives
and,
her life.
And so she is respectful mm-hmm. and she is responsible, and all kinds of favor is going to end up on this girl because people who have authority mm-hmm. and have responsibility are really looking for the right people to delegate that to. And when you find someone that, yeah. that will value and protect what it is that you hand them, that's the bridge of favor that goes to their life.
Yeah.
So much about connecting with others has to do with what you brought mm-hmm. to the relationship. And then there's an exchange.
Yeah. Which is really fun. I've loved actually having conversations with our students the beginning of the school year, you know, when they would talk about their frustrations or their struggles and being powerful. A lot of it was the other person.
Yeah.
They do this.
Yeah.
They do that. And now it has been, I realized this is what I was bringing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to own that piece. And just the transformation between the beginning, I mean, it's only 16 weeks from the start to the finish in this, the language of being powerful, mm-hmm. what has changed. And I told him that in our group. I'm like, it's so fun to hear how your ownership of your life has changed
yeah.
in just a short amount of time.
You know, and once you've done all the things that you think you need to do or want to do or that's important to you, that's all about you, when you get to the end of that, are you really fulfilled? Have you really given your life away and put your purpose out there and lived it? And that's kind of the thing I start thinking about is, I think there's this purpose inside every person that's mm-hmm. God-given.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pretend it isn't there and spend it on myself, I'm just scared of what's going to happen at the end of my life when I get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Corona commercial, you know, the two beach chairs there, mm-hmm. you know, people are just sitting there. It's like, this is the goal. The goal is to get to that beach. Yeah, for a minute. And then what are we going to do, right? Nobody's living on that beach. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, let's go out there and sit there. And, oh, I'm so relaxed. Now what?
Yeah.
I'm bored. Now I feel useless, you know. And so you're like, yeah, that's our lives perpetuate purpose through to the grave. And that momentum, I think marriage helps sustain that.
Yeah.
You know, I think in a family helps build that momentum because there's a level of sacrifice that you did not know existed. Until you involve yourself in a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it a second ago about just selfishness. And I think a lot of the problems that people have in their relationships are they've been, you know, you grow up being told that you can have everything and you can, it's all about you. And you bring that into a relationship or you bring that in, especially into a marriage and or children. And then you're still trying to be selfish while you're married. Like that's mm-hmm. when everything starts to fall apart is this, I've been trained to only care about myself, myself, you know, number one, that's me. I take care, you know, and so you get into these relationships and they're just, you're bumping into each other because you don't know how to make a decision. That's for the whole. It's just me first and then,
yeah.
Than everything else, and that, and if you do that for years, you just mm-hmm. you got a big problem, you know. So, I think selfishness is one of the things to just be aware of from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're running into when you're talking about, you know, especially the early years or whatever. You got to figure it out,
yeah.
And the way to figure it out is it's not about, all about you.
Yeah, and we're living in. An era that is, it's been just saturated with comfort and options mm-hmm. and technology. And you have so many things that you can do to stay focused on yourself.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's like when you are raised in, you know, the Depression or World War II or, you know, some economic, not like we think an economic crisis is when
the toilet paper's gone.
Well, when, you know,
current situation,
we have a real estate decline, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. no, there's no food. That's mm-hmm. that's a crisis. You know, you're eating rats. You're that's a crisis. We've never, you know, we have no idea what that's like.
Yeah.
So until you get stripped back down to that, then you start thinking about the priorities of survival. And the farther you get from the priorities of survival, the more you begin to think like hamburger comes from a store. You know, like that's where they make it at a store. Like, okay, yeah, it's true. I mean, there's a grinder in the back there, but that's not where the meat came from, girl. Yeah. You know, that's just not happening. You know, well, food comes from a store. Like, no, actually it doesn't. No. So, you know, the farther we get from that awareness of survival, the more we get deluded with how life works. Yeah. And this is where this is starting to undermine marriage is this is hard. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything that's hard. Like, well, you're about to if you keep thinking like that.
So with that concept of like your meat and where food comes from analogy.
Store.
What about the, I feel like this, the generation millennials and Gen Z, that's, you know, the up and coming ones to be married, there's a lot of this hookup culture where I'm committed to you. Mm-hmm. I want to have a covenant with you. So we'll pretend we're married, but without the covenant. So we live together. We maybe even blend our bank accounts together and we're Christians, but that's how we've kind of said in our hearts, we have a covenant, but just a piece of paper means nothing. So how do we, because this feels like the food comes from the store analogy, but this is another thing that's been happening, you know, as we do define the relationship courses with younger and younger people, mm-hmm. this seems to be more and more okay, that's the mindset. Because I'm in my heart, I'm committed to you like I am Jesus. That's almost that what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you confront that or speak truth, biblical truth into that, given the analogy you just gave? Like, what is the truth to that? Because I think that's what's going on, and people just don't think they have to get married because they're living it as a covenant.
I think there's lots of weddings and not nearly the same number of covenants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because you had a wedding and you had, you know, cake and went to the store, you know, it just, I mean, it doesn't make it a covenant.
Yeah.
A covenant is really demonstrated on the other side of death. Like a covenant is an agreement that requires death. It's like forgiveness. You know, forgiveness requires death. So in that context, you're about to find out if you have made a covenant because you were willing to die to protect this. Not kill somebody, but die.
Yourself.
Somebody has to die.
Yeah.
You.
Right. And that process is what separates out Christ-likeness from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody else can talk the talk, whatever, you know, but if you're not willing to lay your life down to protect love, to protect a commitment, then you are just like everybody else. You're not like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that a lot of time in that hookup culture, their covenant that they put on display is really what I'm trying to say so I can sleep with you? If we're not actually...
Oh, it's usually what it leads to, you know, especially with no piece of paper. You know, it's just a piece of paper. It's just a piece of paper that cuts your assets in half if you walk away. How's that? You know, because you don't have... Yeah. Generally, people don't have the character to protect the covenant, so you have to have rules. Mm-hmm. You have to have the threat of punishment, the looming threat of punishment to keep you in the struggle.
Mm. There's a lot of, we're going to stay together while it's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's their covenant. I'm going to, as long as this is fun, as long as this is working for me and, you know, working for you or whatever, as long as it's good and cool and we're having fun. But as soon as that's over, then it's okay. We're just, you know, we'll take this life that we created and tried to act like we were married. You know, we're saying this is like a marriage, but as soon as it's not fun anymore, it's parting ways. And sometimes there's children and all kinds of, you know, assets that you're splitting up, you know, and it just breaks down over and over and over and gets harder and harder on all the people that are affected.
And there's a whole set of things that work their way into this, like abuses, and name them. I mean, they just kind of go down the list of, okay, you're scary nut. I will be getting away from you. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a whole pile of that. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about, I don't want to struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't want to work this hard.
Right.
Life is promising me way more ease and comfort than this is. So I'll be, you know, punching my card here and moving on. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I was going to add, I just hearing all these conversations, I think sitting underneath that, it is also this fear and pain for people. Like I think listening to people in mine and Brittany's generation, and it's probably common everywhere throughout the generations, but the selfishness can often even feel like this fear or avoidance of pain. And so thinking, I'll just take care of myself, and the pain that might come with covenant or commitment and that breaking up, I'll just stay over here where it feels safe. Really, I'm not avoiding any pain. There's pain coming my way, you know, because staying in comfort actually isn't the avoidance of pain and solving some fear. It's an illusion, but.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I'm not going to go to the gym so that I don't have any pain.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it doesn't work like that, you know, because here's what's coming your way. Exactly. Is pain. Yeah. Yeah. And limitation and weakness.
Is it at the grocery store?
Yeah, well, I'm just on another analogy. Oh, okay. Here I go. We're at the gym now. Come on, okay. Catch up.
Sorry.
That's close to the store. Yeah.
So I think that, the family life is living at the gym.
Yeah.
Which makes a whole bunch of strong lovers, because when you nail the family covenant dynamic. You really have a capacity to love.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds crazy, but you got to have a baby. I mean, you just got to have a baby in your house. You just got to do it because those things.
Not a puppy.
Those things are.
Puppies maybe are level one.
Yeah. Yeah. Babies are like, are you kidding me? Sacrificial. You know, they will take you to a place in your life that you did not know was there. You didn't want it. You didn't want it to be there.
I don't want to go to that gym.
Yeah.
That's a boot camp. That's what babies are.
Yeah. And you know, working out a relationship with another adult is easy compared to babies. Babies.
Because they can talk.
Yeah. They are just brutal, those things.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I think, you know, your season of marriage, you've 39 years, that's how long you guys have been married. Just celebrated that. Ben and I are nearly at 20. And, you know, I was just kind of looking back at the early years of your marriage, early years of our marriage. And it does feel like, I mean, maybe everyone has different seasons, but like the first 5 years, if not longer, feel like that's the moment where you're trying to figure out, can I die to myself? And if you can't figure it out in that, it just kind of lingers. And that's where the heart continues to keep growing and growing and growing. And like you said, that you want to stay in it as long as it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, we've never thrown out the divorce word in fights or anything like that because it feels like it's like level 10 disrespect to what we said we're trying to do. And I wonder, you know, I don't know. I don't actually know if you guys ever threw that word out or not. I don't remember that story, but because I know you had some hard, I know you had longer than 5 years hard too. But that's another thing that I looking at marriage, like what is the disrespect level that you feel like people are willing to participate in or like almost create a culture of? Like that's one of the big dysfunctions I see that shows up that we work with is they have said yes to disrespect in their marriage. And then all of a sudden it just grows and grows and grows until you're throwing out level 10 disrespect all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That divorce card.
I think we grew up in homes where the respect level was just, you know, there was no respect between our, like my mom and dad. I don't remember my mom and my, you know, my birth dad, never lived with him really in the family. But my mom and my stepdad, it was just every night was disrespect and the divorce card was thrown out there all the time. And that was my example. Like, I think that's one of the things that you have to overcome is the example you had and how that plays out in your life. And we could talk about that more when we, it's just Danny and I, but it's legit. Like that's, if that's your normal, you have to change it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in our language, that's where the Kylo 5 really comes from is deciding not to live in disrespect land. Mm-hmm. Like some people just set up shop there. You're like, whoa, today was the least disrespectful day we've had in a long time. You know, we need to up our game here. And you're like, no, move out of that neighborhood. Get out of there. And so when we talk about the Kylo 5, it's really about how are we going to, how am I going to direct myself towards an experience that I want to live in? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
And this is the dying to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think humbling myself, it requires me to
manage me
really well and shut down these things that want to take over for our benefit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, going to save the world.